Well, last Sunday's message was rather heavy, but I felt necessary given our circumstances in which our congregation finds itself. But now it's time for us to move forward. It seemed right to me that this message today should really carry on from where we left off. And I spoke last week of our belief that even through the trials and the tribulations of life, and we wonder where God is, that God is with us, and God is for us, and that our future together centres around our expressing of our praise and our thanksgiving to God in worship. It's kind of like the glue that holds us together. The worship and the praise and the honour and the glory that's given to God. In my initial preparation, I was drawn to this passage from Colossians chapter 3, and especially verse 16. But seriously, the whole chapter is invaluable to us. In fact, the whole of the letter to the Colossians is really quite edifying. Perhaps it's colossal Colossians. The theme of the whole letter to the church at Colossae seems to me to be what you once were, but what you are now becoming. What you once were, but what you are now becoming. The chapter that we are considering today begins with an exhortation to seek the things above. Having been raised with Christ, to put to death the earthly sinful desires of which Paul gives some examples, naming particularly sexual sins and greed. These, Paul says, are the things that people used to do before they became Christians. But that is not the way that Christians are to behave. Paul is clearly calling his readers to rise above their present circumstances and to rise above the prevailing culture in which they find themselves. In their attitude and their actions, rise above it. A message that we too must heed if we are to be truly salt and light in our community. These ways that converts once practiced have no place now as they follow Jesus. That old life is gone, Paul says, and it's time to embrace your new life in Christ. He names some things that are perhaps still too close to home for us. Anger. Wrath. That's anger on steroids, obviously. Malice. That's the desire to harm someone. Felt like hitting anyone over the head recently? Slander. That's undermining someone, speaking ill of them in an attempt to destroy their reputation. Abusive, or as some versions say, filthy language. And lying. Well, surely there can be no argument here. None of these things are things that should be tolerated in our own lives or in the life of the church. Because Paul says, we have stripped off the old self. The old self that may have engaged in such practices, but not now that we are clothed with the new self. And so he moves to talk about the things followers of Jesus should be wearing. And these are the sorts of things that we should mark as priorities in our relationships with one another in the church. Compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, forbearance, forgiveness, and above all else, love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Yes, that's Christian living. That's the kind of church that I want to be a part of. What about you? And then we get to the bit that I really want to hone in on this morning. Paul says, this is the in our SV version, I think. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called into one body. And be thankful. To be thankful. So we've been talking about to live with an attitude of gratitude. But what is gratitude? Well, the dictionary definition we put up on the slide, the quality of being thankful, readiness to show appreciation for and to return kindness. John Ortberg describes it this way in his book, It All Goes Back in the Box. He says, gratitude is the ability to experience life as a gift. It opens us up to wonder, delight, and humility. It makes our hearts generous. It liberates us from the prison of self-preoccupation. Gratitude is not something we give to God because He wants to make sure we know how much trouble He went to over us. Gratitude is the gift God gives us that enables us to be blessed by all His other gifts. The way our taste buds enable us to enjoy the gift of food. Without gratitude, our lives degenerate into envy, dissatisfaction and complaints, taking what we have for granted and always wanting more. Of course, the opposite of being grateful is not where we want to be, is it? Ingratitude leads to a self-centered sense of entitlement, a victim mentality, being judgmental, being dissatisfied and becoming bitter. None of us like to keep company with such attitudes. But if we are honest, we can see ourselves sometimes falling into that trap. We want to head in the other direction. And I believe that we can cultivate an attitude of gratitude, and we can do so even when things seem really difficult and circumstances are intolerable. And it begins with an intentional focus on God. And this picks up where we left off last Sunday. In the midst of the trials and tribulations, we saw that the psalmist not only never lost confidence that God was real, though often feeling abandoned, but returned again and again, time after time, to acknowledge the goodness and the faithfulness of the Lord. As such, they offered up this act of worship, honouring God. I said last week that the way for us to break through the pain of our trials is to praise God. Because it is in praising God that we find healing. It is where we find our joy. And when a congregation joins together in praise, it is like a healing balm. In his letter to the church in Colossae, Paul continues, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." In other words, read it and let it sink in. "Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom." Now, admonish means to warn someone of something that needs to be avoided. Is he referring back to what he just wrote about some of those things that should no longer be a part of a Christian's life? And he continues, "With gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God." Well, Paul mentions here singing the psalms, doesn't he? Well, you can sing them if you like, but if you don't feel like singing, or you can't sing very well, you can just read them and meditate on them. The Psalms can help us to turn to praise, even when praise seems really difficult for us. There are so many, of course, that we can choose from as we look through all 150 Psalms. There are many to choose from. We heard from Psalm 100 as we began our worship today. We sang a song based on Psalm 136, "His love endures forever. Give thanks to the Lord." Praising God naturally leads us to identify the attributes of God, which in turn leads us to recall and reflect upon the promises of God. It's all too easy for us to focus on the negatives. And they can consume us. Consume us to the point where we see no good in anything or in anyone. A self-fulfilling prophecy, if you like. Look for bad, you find bad. But we can turn that around by deliberately and consciously looking for good. You look for good, you will see good. You look to God, you will see where God is active in your circumstances. Then you are on a journey of cultivating an attitude of gratitude, not only towards God, but also to other people. We mentioned the old song. I was thinking of that myself when we thought about count your blessings, name them one by one. Truly, the more you look, the more you reflect, the more you will find. Don't look for what you don't have. Look for what you do have and give thanks to God. Be thankful every day. I once saw an old black and white movie. I wish I could find it again, the name of which I just cannot recall. But it featured a man called Mr. Brown. And Mr. Brown sure lived his life with an attitude of gratitude. A phrase from the movie stuck with me. When someone greeted him as he strolled down the path for his morning walk and someone said, "Good day, Mr. Brown," his response always was, "Every day is a good day when you're walking with the Lord." Every day is a good day when you're walking with the Lord. Isn't that true? There's so much for which we can be thankful. Let's turn our attention to this video clip.
When I watch TV, it's just some shows that are pretend. And when you explore, you get more imagination than you already had. And when you get more imagination, it makes you want to go deeper in so you can get more and see beautiful things. Like, it could lead you to a beach or something, and it could be beautiful.
You think this is just another day in your life? It's not just another day. It's the one day that is given to you today. It's given to you. It's a gift. It's the only gift that you have right now, and the only appropriate response is gratefulness. If you do nothing else but to cultivate that response to the great gift that this unique day is, if you learn to respond as if it were the first day in your life, and the very last day, then you will have spent this day very well. Begin by opening your eyes and be surprised that you have eyes you can open. That incredible array of colors that is constantly offered to us for pure enjoyment. Look at the sky. We so rarely look at the sky. We so rarely note how different it is from moment to moment with clouds coming and going. We just think of the weather. And even of the weather, we don't think of all the many nuances of weather. We just think of good weather and bad weather. this day, right now, it's unique weather. Maybe a kind that will never exactly in that form come again. The formation of clouds in the sky will never be the same that is right now. Open your eyes, look at that. Look at the faces of people whom you meet. Each one has an incredible story behind their face. A story that you could never fully fathom. Not only their own story, but the story of their ancestors. We all go back so far. And in this present moment, on this day, all the people you meet, all that life from generations and from so many places all over the world, flows together and meets you here like a life-giving water if you only open your heart and drink. Open your heart to the incredible gifts that civilization gives to us. You flip a switch and there is electric light. You turn a faucet and there is warm water and cold water and drinkable water. It's a gift that millions and millions in the world will never experience. So these are just a few of an enormous number of gifts to which we can open your heart. And so I wish you that you will open your heart to all these blessings and let them flow through you, that everyone whom you will meet on this day will be blessed by you. Just by your eyes, by your smile, by your touch, just by your presence. Let the gratefulness overflow into blessing all around you. And then it will really be a good day.
Of course, every day we can remind ourselves that God has given to us the greatest gift possible, the fullness of life in Jesus. We are saved, we are redeemed, we are reconciled, we're made heirs with Jesus in the full inheritance of heaven which awaits us. 2 Corinthians 9:8 says, "And God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work." And Ephesians 1 verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places." We need to claim that blessing, take hold of it, believe it, live in its truth. Every day, thank God for his wonderful gift, a grace undeserved, yet so bountifully offered. And when we express our gratitude to God, it seems more natural for us then to express our gratitude to others. And this is so important for us within the church. Expressing gratitude to one another is one of the strongest factors in maintaining a healthy church family. If we are to build a loving community here, we must offer encouragement to one another. Nothing lifts a person like the words of encouragement, and it can be as simple or as profound as just thanking someone. We teach it to our children. Say thank you, be grateful. We can do it for one another. And often it's just the little things that count. an email, text message, phone call, or a spoken word directly, face to face, over a cuppa. If it's genuine, it cannot be overdone. It's not hard to do, but it's powerful. Thank you for what you do. Thank you for what you did. I really appreciated your help. I really appreciate your smile. You are such a blessing to me because it sounds so simplistic. Yet I wonder how much do we really practice it in reality? How often do we do something like I'm suggesting? If I ask you to go home and make a list today of all the things that you are grateful for, would there be names of people on it? Why don't you take the time this week to make a list? Make a list of things that you're grateful for and the people for whom you're grateful to. And then take the time to act on it. Aim to be a blessing to others. And the final verse that we consider this morning is verse 17. And whatever you do in word or in deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Give thanks to God the Father through him in whatever you do, in word or deed. Well, we've suggested the way that we can use our words. But another way to show gratitude, of course, is in our action. Perhaps in paying it forward, as they say these days. To do a good deed for someone. Blessing them in the hope that they will continue the practice and bless someone else. An action such as that can be truly contagious, permeating through our congregation and spilling out into the wider community. So let's work to build one another up. Let's encourage one another. Let's express our gratitude to God and to one another. May our gratitude then flow out to bless our community and be a catalyst for opening the way up for others to come into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Because at the end of the day, that's what it's all about. Amen.